had a powerful time. We just got back on Friday night. I believe we left on Monday. And the buzzword for this year has been expansion, has been the word expansion. But on the first night, on the first day, should I say, in the morning or in the afternoon, Monday afternoon, we met at Pastor Joel Cantanella's church there. And our founder, Pastor Sonny, spoke. And all that kept coming out of his mouth was mega this, mega that, mega, that the people were mega, the ministry. So he just kept using the word mega. So the word mega became a buzzword tied to the word expansion, you know, that we don't stay where we're at. And I believe God has called us to do something great. So in that, the title of this morning's message should be a quick message, amen, on the screens, amen. It's Mega God, Mega Vision. That's the title of this morning's message, amen. And I'm real excited to preach it here this morning. And as Pastor Sonny kept using the word mega, mega, you're a mega disciple, you're a mega person, it's like, I don't know about that one, you know, because there's areas in our lives that we can say, I'm really good at this, or I'm really good at this, I'm real bad at that. But to say you're a mega, you know, daughter of the Lord, or a mega son of the Lord, it stretches your thinking. It stretches your thinking and the way you think about yourself when it comes to being a son or a daughter of the Lord. Amen. We want to stay humble and say, you know, I'm doing okay. You know, I'm all right. You know, I don't know about mega. You know, that's not me. I haven't been called to be a mega daughter or a mega son. But if we have a mega God and a mega vision, why not? Amen. When I ran the streets with the work of the enemy, I was a mega sinner. I wasn't sinning a little bit. I was a mega sinner when I was out there saved by grace. So if I was able to be a mega sinner for the work of the enemy year after year after year, if that was able to be accomplished, amen, why cannot me being a mega son of the Lord be accomplished by now doing what's right and the vision that the Lord has given our ministry? So I want to be using the word mega a lot today to get you used to it, to stretch your thinking, to stretch your heart, to stretch where you're at right now. You know, there's a little cop-out saying that we use in our ministry. It sounds real good, but it's really a milking little statement. People will say, I may not be where I'm supposed to be, but I'm surely not where I used to be. And it almost sounds like scripture. It almost sounds like a scripture in the Old Testament and a scripture in the New Testament. You know, I may not be where I used, where I should be, but I'm definitely not where I used to be. And sometimes we can say that just to buy a little bit more time and becoming who God has called us to be, a mega son and a mega daughter of His. Amen. So I'm going to keep using the word because as our founder was using it, it was stretching me. It was stretching my mentality to think the way he thinks. And the way he thinks is the what God placed in his life and all the proof of our ministry for over 54 years now in existence. Started off in 1967, amen, when God called our founder, Pastor Sonny, along with his wife, Sister Julie, amen. So let's get in the message, amen. So tell your neighbor, you're a mega disciple. I mean, it almost sounds weird even saying it to the person, more or less hearing it, amen. Because it felt weird, I want you to say it again. You are a mega disciple of the Lord. I know when we come in, guys in the rehab, in the church, we always brag about how big of dope dealers or users we were in the world and everything we did. It was big stuff, big. And then we get saved and we want to be little, little, little. That's not for me. That's not for me. You know, that's for the others that need that. That's not for me. Mega God, mega vision. Amen. As we go to the book of Romans, chapter 19, verse 20. I want to welcome all viewing online here this day. We welcome you. And I pray that your mentality be stretched as well, that you're a mega sister in the Lord, a mega son in the Lord. You just didn't get saved to get off of addiction or to get away from him or her, or whatever it might have been, but to be a mega son or daughter of the Lord. Romans chapter 19, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. The Bible reads, they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. The key word is obvious. Go back to that verse, please. They know the truth about God. How many know the truth about God? What you're supposed to be doing. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. Why? We serve a mega God. We serve a mega God, a big God. And I believe he's made it obvious for us to not only know his truth, but to apply his truth. He's made it obvious to your life that he not only wanted to save you, but that he wants to use your life. It's obvious that he's tugging at your heart as I speak here this morning to those that are present here in the temple of God and those that are present viewing online. It's obvious that only God could have saved a people like you and I. That we can't give that credit to anybody else. But it's obvious that the Word of God, the truth of God, is the one that set us free. That no one else could do it but God. It's obvious. Verse 20. Why is it obvious? Give some points here in verse 20. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth, have seen the sky, through everything God made. They can clearly, once again, clearly see. It's obvious. Clearly see his invisible qualities. In other words, even though we can't in the physical see God, we can see his qualities, his mighty work of his hands. We can see in what he's done in our lives. It's obvious that it was God and God alone. And for that reason, he receives all glory and all honor, because it's obvious here this day that the invisible God's qualities are here as I speak this day. I'm one of his qualities, one of the great works that he has done. Not just wearing my pretty blue sports jacket here this morning, but I'm one of the proofs, amen, of the mighty word of God's truth that has been set free, that I can't give the praise to my mom or my dad, my brothers, my sisters. It's obvious that a praise and a worship can only be given to God and God alone. It's obvious that he alone saved my life. What man was impossible of being able to do, it wasn't impossible for God. It's obvious. When my family members think of me or see me or talk to me, it's obvious that only God and God alone is the one that saved my life. It's obvious. And we go on to see his invisible qualities, amen. The Bible goes on to say his eternal power and divine nature. So they have, and it ends off here, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. Why? It's obvious. That God has brought us together here this day. It's obvious that it is the work of the Lord. It's obvious if we're going to succeed in the things of God, of being mega sons, mega daughters of the Lord, that we're going to have to apply his truth. That it's obvious here this day that there's no excuses of us getting to the place of never being able to know who God is. Because it's obvious what he has done in creation, in the earth and in the sky, and the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the seas and the fish within, and the birds of the air. It's obvious that a monkey didn't do it. It's obvious that this is a mega work of a mega God, not no mega monkey, but a mega God. It's obvious that God did all this. It's obvious here this day that God is wanting to use your life. You can't dodge the bullets. As much as you want to dodge the words I'm preaching here this day, in your heart, you know it's obvious that God has saved you with purpose in mind in using your life in a mega way. As the enemy at one time used your life in a mega way. It's obvious here this morning, and there's no excuses, because the God we serve ain't a little God. He's a big, big, mega God. And it's obvious that he's speaking already through my life right now. It's God's truth about your life, about my life. Within your heart right now, within your spirit, it's obvious that God wants to do something bigger, greater, and mega within your life. Your heart is being stirred right now to the words that I'm speaking. Because even though it's quiet here this morning, it's obvious that something is taking place within your heart. In answering the call of God, you can fight it as long as you want to, and it will remain obvious that God still wants to use you, that God still wants to do something mega in and through your life. It's obvious here this day. It's obvious. In Genesis 1:1, amen, Romans 1:19-20 tells us that he created the earth and the sky. But let's take it to the real beginning. Amen. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible records that in the beginning, a monkey created the heavens and the earth. Now, it's obvious that that is not true. So it's so obvious that it was funny when I said it. But if you go to elementary school, they'll teach you it came of evolution of a monkey. The most highly educated people will tell you that we evolved from a monkey. When I read it that way, it was funny to us, because it's obvious, and there's no excuses here this day, that God is the one that created the sky and the earth. It's obvious that someone with eternal power and a divine touch, amen, the answer could only be God. It's obvious. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, we may not be able to see heaven, but we're able to see earth. We can see it clearly that God created it. Everyone can see it. It's obvious. There's no excuses. What else did God create? I put here a worldwide mega ministry called Victory Outreach International. We're all around the world in over 33 countries. It's obvious. There's no excuses. And you can see it. You can see it. We went, amen, to the camp meeting. It was obvious because one of the speakers was from South Africa. We could see him. We could see him. And other speakers from all around the world. It's obvious that it's a work of God. We have a worldwide mega ministry called Victory Outreach International. I'm not speaking by faith. I'm not making it up. You can see it. It's a work taking place right now all around the world. It's obvious that we have a worldwide mega ministry. Give the Lord a good clap offering right there. And because of our mega worldwide international ministry, we also have mega-minded founders and leadership, elders, multi-regionals, regionals, pastors. It's obvious that we have mega-minded founders and leadership around the world. We're around the world. It's something that we all believe here this day. Amen. It's something that is obvious if you've been with us long enough that we are all around the world. To you and I that have been around, it's obvious. We can see it. We also have, talking about our church now, have a mega church of faith. Now, you may look around and say, Pastor, it don't look mega yet. But we have a mega church of faith here in Victory Outreach, Milwaukee. Remember all the other ones, you could see them. But this one, we may not be able to see it yet in the large numbers of people, but we can see the invisible qualities. We can see the invisible qualities. What are they, Pastor? I'll tell you. We have a mega property here that the Lord has purchased for us. Amen. It's a property you and I can see. It's part of the invisible qualities of what God has already done. It's a proof. We have a powerful, beautiful sanctuary. We have a school. Not many VL churches around the world come with a school. Our mega property not only comes with a mega sanctuary, but a school. It comes with a mega house of 20-plus bedrooms with about 5 or 6 full-blown baths and showers. Amen? It comes with a mega house. There's not a house that's considered a house, and there's no whole neighborhood that is as big as that house that comes with one address. It's not a duplex. It's got one address. 20 rooms in that house. It's what I call a mega house with a mega work intention of the invisible qualities of how we are able to see, even though we ain't got all the numbers yet. We're able to see the invisible qualities of God at work. And it also comes with a mega playground area for the church. It's obvious. The invisible qualities are obvious because all the ones I listed, you can see them. You can see them. We have a pretty good turnout here today, and I know there's some viewing online. But can this turnout be tripled? Can it be tripled?
Yes.
It's one of the invisible qualities that's left to manifest itself. Just as the temple manifests itself, just as the school and the house and the playground, that we can see it. When at times all those qualities were invisible, and I would preach hard from the Southside Church behind the pulpit that one day, we're going to have a big church. One day, God is going to do this and this and this. And it was an invisible qualities of faith that I was preaching of. And today, we're able to see it with our very own eyes. But the few that have been faithful and allowing one by one the invisible qualities of the Lord to be made manifested. Why do I know the Lord also wants to do something mega that He has already created that we can see? We live in a mega city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There's a mega city here, an opportunity. However you want to do the math, a little short of 1 million people. We're in a mega city. We're in a mega city. A mega city of sin, of God's grace and mercy. And I believe the visible qualities of the Lord have all now been manifested, have all been put in place for us to be able to see God bring in the lost and the bound, to be part of what He's doing not only locally here in Victor Outreach, Milwaukee, not only in the Great Lakes region, but what God is doing all around the world. It's something we not only hear, but that we're able to see clearly in what He is doing. You can see it. And the last one that is mega, I put here, is our mega God, Lord and Savior. We have a mega God, a mega Lord and Savior that is present here this day, just as much as the temple of God is, just as much as the school is, the house, the playground lot, just as much as you and I are here this day. We have a mega God, a mega Lord and Savior, but He can't be seen. He can't be seen. But He can be heard. And His invisible qualities, the work of what He has done, can be seen. But He Himself is invisible here this day. And that's why we walk by faith, not by sight. But the work of His hands, amen. He wants to bless us, to bless others. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. In the real beginning, He told man and woman to multiply. We need to know that God has created everything. Scripture has told us. Hebrews 3:4 says, for every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. But we can't see Him. I have a question here this day. Do you feel a mega move that God is wanting to do in your life and through your life right now? Do you feel what God is doing in your life that He wants to make so much greater? And what He's wanting to do that your capacity has not even been tapped into yet? In how God has designed you to be a mega son, a mega daughter of His? Do you feel that you have tapped into what God is wanting to do in your life? Do you feel that everything that He's been wanting to do is already finished? Or do you still sense within your life that He's wanting to do so much more in your life? He's wanting to do so much more through your life. And right now He's speaking. Whenever the Lord speaks is to say that He wants to use you, but to give instructions to the call that He has placed upon your life that is mega. It's mega. I wrote in a note before I walked up here that the very first day of my salvation, when I came to Victory Outreach, straight from prison out on a Saturday, in church on a Sunday morning, all posted up, looking big bad. I was a bad dude. I just came out of prison. I was a wannabe big bad dude, amen? Big mustache. I was posted up in the last row of the church because I was a mega guy for the devil. I wasn't just another guy that walks in the church. I was checking everything out. The very, very first service in my life, 23 years ago, God would start to speak through the messenger called Pastor Herb. That I didn't know from Adam's apple. I didn't know God's word. I knew religion from a young kid being raised up as a Catholic, but I didn't know who God was. I didn't even know who I was. See, whenever you don't know who God is, you don't know who you are and your potential, the capacity that God has placed within your life. So I'm in the back row, fresh out of prison, not knowing nothing, thinking I know everything. I mean, know that we're good in playing off as if everything's good in the hood. We're good at it. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Good to see you. I love you. I love you, too. I love you, too. Two can play the game. But, man, I'm the pastor. I do the and then I got to repent after doing that. I got to repent. I'm the pastor. I'm the mega son of the Lord. I'm preaching mega message here this Sunday. Thinks he's all this and that. And I remember the message would start, the praise, the worship. I thought everybody was crazy in the church. I was in the back row thinking I was the only sane person in there because the majority of the church looked rougher and meaner than I did. I was like, he ain't about nothing. He ain't about nothing. I ain't messing with him. He ain't about nothing. He ain't about it. I ain't messing with her. He ain't about nothing. I was measuring everything up in the church. But the very first message in the back row with a pack of smokes in my pocket, all messed up, but I was looking, boy, I was looking good. Been working out for years in the prison system. I was looking real healthy, real solid as a rock. But inside, I didn't know who I was. Inside, I was a weak individual that didn't know where to start. Inside, my world was so messed up. But something would take place when the preaching would start. Something would take place. I thank the Lord I was in the last row because I couldn't look back and say, man, he's talking to him. There was nobody behind me. I was in the last row. And something started happening within my life. Something started taking place in my heart where God would start speaking to me in a mega, mega way. As if I thought he had the wrong person. Because the words that were mega that he was speaking about, not only that he was going to change my life, but that he was going to use my life in a mighty powerful way. These feelings and emotions were taking place in my life and the last row in my heart with a pack of smokes in my pocket. And you got the wrong guy, you got the wrong guy, you got the wrong guy. But the message, I thank the Lord that the messages are an hour long and not church-friendly 15-minute messages. So nobody look at your watch. Your phone, you had that chance, you moved the hour back or forward, whatever it was. It was those hour messages, amen, that got into my heart, that allowed God to speak his truth over and over, that he had the right man, that he had the right man. The messages started penetrating my heart. What was the fancy word you use? Permeating my heart, Pastor Felipe was using. Hear this, boy. I said, come on with your bad self, Felipe. It started permeating my heart. Jesus started working in my heart. He started working some things into my heart, into my way I think, and he kept mentioning it over and over. I said, oh, my Lord, is he speaking to me? You see, I'm on parole. I'm a 98% chance to post to go back to prison for the third time. Could he have the right guy? You're asking yourself right now, could he have the right man? Could he have the right sister that he is speaking to right now? You're minding your business, coming to church because it was the right thing to do today, and God starts speaking. The mega God wanting to raise up mega people, a mega church, a mega ministry all around the world. By the end of that hour, I was convinced. I wasn't tweaking. I was healthy. I hadn't touched drugs in years. I didn't touch a drop of alcohol in the prison system. I didn't smoke a joint when it was all over the place. I was working out, doing sets of 1,000 push-ups and 1,000 sit-ups and bar work and all that. People were getting high. Boy, I'd run to the other part of the yard. I didn't want nothing to do with that. I was finally in my right mind, but my heart was still all messed up. I was sober. I came into the church sober with the nicotine jumping off. Amen? I was sober, and by the end of the hour of the message, I was fully convinced. It was obvious. There was no excuses. I knew God was speaking to me. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this day. There was no way around it. My street smart could not get around it. God was speaking to me. We got back on Friday. We had pizza with the rehab guys. The Victory Homes. I call them rehab. That's men's home. That just changed. Victory Homes. We call them men's home. And we're all eating pizza down there, amen. I was tired. I was trying to get out. I was just bombarded with 1,000,000,000 ideas and thoughts. And then one of the men of the rehab came to me because they were watching all the services in the morning and in the evening. We splurged on them. They had the week off of work, and they I called it work, not fundraising, work. In the beginning, God could not cause the rains to come because there was no man to work the garden, not fundraise the garden, but to work the garden. The garden was real. It called for real work. And a brother came up to me and said, "Pastor, can I talk?" I said, "Sure can." Been with us here roughly a month now. Kind of narrows down who I'm talking about. But nobody look around. Nobody look up. Everybody look up. We ain't talking about him. And he came to me. He was one that should have made it in the home maybe 1 or 2 days and been gone. Sweating, shaking, and all, twitching and all that stuff. Couldn't even talk. The day he came in, he took a shower, he came right back to when I was here in the church, and he was already all sweated out again, alcohol, poisons, and everything oozing out of him. Came with nothing. Nothing but a messed up life. And a month later, he comes to me this Friday night and says, if he could speak to me. I said, "Sure, man, what's on your heart?" He said, "Well, you know, we're listening to all the messages." I said, "Yeah, that's good, that's good." He goes, "Can I ask you something, Pastor?" And I said, "Yeah." And he says, "God said, I'm one of those guys that's going to run the home, the director." Is it a director? And I said, he says, "But I need to know what you think about it. Because it's something he's not ready for, but something God already spoke in advance. And I know that language that is spoken in advance when yet we're not there yet. And God is speaking something into our spirit of who we're going to be and what we're going to do and how great it's going to be, but we're not there yet. And I've been at that place, like I told you, in the back row of the church, fresh out of prison, seeing everything incorrectly, thinking everything incorrectly, not even knowing that God was speaking to me. Because how could a holy God speak to a filthy, wicked man like me? So I know the language when God speaks to a woman, when God speaks to a man, when God speaks to a young adult, of the calling upon their lives, even though they're not there yet. It's what we call an invisible quality. Ooh, that word really blew up right now. It's all there, but it's still invisible for everybody to see clearly in who you're going to be and what you're going to do for the kingdom of God. But it's there. God has spoken it as he spoke from the darkness, as he spoke the light in the waters. It's there. So I know the language. When I didn't know the language of a guy in the month, a month in the home came up and asked a question. I said, "Man, you're crazy, man. Get back in the home. What are you talking about? That's the devil." But today I know the language on how God is able to speak to a man or a woman way in advance of what he or she is going to become and do for his glory and his honor in the building of his kingdom. It's obvious when God is speaking. There's no excuses. Even if you've only been in the home for 1 month and lived the best of life. I mean, this individual already has a few teeth taken out under a month of time by a dentist. Amen? Not the enemy. Because a lot of us lost some teeth, man, due to the enemy. Amen? A real dentist took 2 of his teeth out. Amen? We're going somewhere. And I said, I believe that 100% that God spoke those words to you. And his head's down. He's humbled. And I says, but this is what you got to do. You got to go through the home first. You're going to have to manifest the invisible qualities within your life. They're going to become so strong that everybody's going to see it clearly. That it's going to be so obvious that God's the one that did this. Mm-hmm. It's obvious when God speaks. It's obvious. There's no excuses when God speaks. Because if God speaks it, that means he's giving you in advance, you're pre-packed to be able to answer that call. Even though the qualities are still invisible in who you are to be. When the first message came, it was all me, man. I felt it. First day in the rehab, I felt it. There's a witness in the rehab right now. I don't hide it no more. The first day out of my 14 days, little did know I would get set up for years after year after year. 10 years in the rehab, over Pastor Felipe's 7.5 years in the rehab. One day he'll be the pastor of his city, and he'll be able to tell the story the way he wants to. But when I go visit, I'll make sure to say the way I see it. So they're going to say, me, of course. Just leave that one alone, Pastor Felipe. Days in the rehab, thunder was in my heart. God was already speaking that I would never go back to addiction, that I would never go back to a cigarette, that I made a deal. I say it again. I made a deal. I cut a deal with the devil himself, with the horns, the pitchfork, the red suit, the devil, not his demons, not his, you know, go-to guys, but the devil himself. I made a deal with him that he would never get a nickel of mine ever again for anything that deals with addiction. And me and the devil have kept this agreement for 23 years now. It's obvious to the devil himself. The devil kept his deal and I kept my side of the deal. I haven't touched addiction in 23 years of any kind. Of any kind. Something happened in the first day of my salvation where the mega God spoke to a little going nowhere wannabe Texan. What he had in mind for my life. And what he wanted to do through my life. And I believe there's a man, there's a woman, a young adult, some viewing through Facebook right now that are being challenged, and God is speaking. He is speaking the call upon your life, and it's obvious. There's no excuses. It just got to be manifested. I put here, anytime God wants to do something mega in and through your life, anytime he wants to do something mega big in your life or in my life or through your life and through my life, it's something that has never been done before. It's something that has never been done before. When God is speaking and he speaks it to your life, it's something that has never been done before within your life, so much more through your life. Whenever a mega God speaks to a man, a woman, a young adult, It's something that has never, ever been done yet in your life. So in other words, when we answer the call to what's never, ever been done in your life before, the invisible qualities, when we answer the call because it's never been done ever before in your life, you're making history. See, history takes place when something has never been done before. In the beginning of our ministry in 1967, the saying in New York and all around the world was, once a drug addict, always a drug addict. It had never been done before where a heroin addict could get out of addiction. He would either die in prison or OD. It had never been done before until the invisible qualities of the spoken word of the Lord came upon our founder and gave him the mega God plan, not only for his life and for his family, but for people that were lost all around the world. History. We right now are in the history books of church history, of church growth. Victory Outreach International. Do you know that? And not only are we making history around the world right now, amen, we're making history right now as I speak in this temple. God is wanting to make history in your life and through your life. Your mama, your daddy, everybody said you would never become anything. You would never amount to nothing. You would die a filthy drug addict. You would die an alcoholic. That nothing good would ever be able to come out of your life. But then the mega God would speak. In 1967, and as the mega God spoke to an ex-heroin addict, he gave instructions to leave everything, Nikki Cruz everything, and go to East L.A. Because our mega God, our mega Lord and Savior, had a worldwide mega plan of the visible qualities that he was placing in one couple that would speak the very plan of God. 54 years later now, what was invisible has now been manifested to be seen clearly all around the world. Think about it. How many of you ever thought you would get to sit where you're at right now? Just to sit where you're at. You need to count yourself privileged just to be sitting down in the temple of God where the mega God is speaking here this day. That is a privilege. There's only one and will never be another you. Will God be able to make history using your life? There is men, women, and young adults dying in our city right now, and God is wanting to make history in and through your life to bring salvation to those, even though it's obvious and there's no excuses, that are still lost and bound. It is obvious here this day that God has brought you here to this Sunday morning service, has called you to view through Facebook because he wants to make history in your life and through your life, saying, there goes brother such and such. There goes, man, check out sisters. Man, yep, that's her. Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe. I know, I understand. God's wanting to do something mega in Milwaukee that has never been done before. Will you take the challenge of faith with me? That it is God that is speaking right now. God is wanting to do something in Milwaukee that has never been done before. And being able to bring salvation to the worst of the worst. Not to have a church where everybody behaves themselves, but to have a hardcore church when the majority don't behave themselves, when the majority are always dodging the call of God, even though it's obvious, even though it's the truth. Will you believe with me that God wants to make history in Milwaukee using your life, using my life? You can say whatever you want to say why you're not available, but it's obvious that you're running from God. Those in the camera, it's obvious, man. It's obvious. I'm going to catch up with you. Leave that camera right there. In case somebody is a mute. You hold me, man. If I fall, it's your fault. Hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me. In case somebody's a mute. They got me? They got me? It's obvious. It's obvious. What you running from? God saved you. And there's still more that he wants to save through you. What's your problem? I don't care if you feel like that. That's a feeling. Well, brother such and such talked to me. I don't care. Well, sister looked at me wrong. I don't care. She didn't mean nothing by it. It was just her long fake eyelashes. It was misunderstood. And her eyelashes went like, that's all. She was saying she loves you. What's wrong? Ain't no COVID in this church. There's COVID called sin. That's the real COVID. But the good news for the COVID of sin, there is a vaccination. There's a vaccination that you only got to take one time. A one-time hit, no quitter. A one-hit quitter. You just boom. You inject Jesus in your life. You inject Jesus in your heart. That's it. Boom. One booyah. Saved. Yeah, I'm talking about you. I ain't got no long eyelashes. Ain't no miss words I'm saying right now. It's obvious God wants to still use you, even though you've been running. I'm going to let you go now. My phone number is 414-236-1368. If you now need a counseling session, I'll be the counselor. And do a part two of this one. Oh, by the way, I love you. God bless you. Yeah. All right. All right. All right. Aisha. Praise the Lord. Maybe they could see clearly, hear clearly, because it's obvious as the worship team makes their way. It's obvious. There ain't no excuses here this day. God has done too much to say, I wonder if he really wants to use me. He's done too. It's obvious he wants to use you. There's no excuses when God calls a man, when God calls a woman, when God calls a young adult. There's no excuses. Romans chapter 1, 19 and 20. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. 20. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuses for not knowing God. I don't know about you people, man, but it's a good thing to know God. Yeah, he's going to call you to change your lifestyle, but that too is a good thing. Yeah, you're going to have to go through changes for the good, for that too is a good thing. It's like everything you've been wanting, everything on the side when nobody's looking, it's just you and the Lord thinking, you're desiring this and this and this. And though you're desiring just little things to be done in your life, anytime a mega God speaks, he'll start off with the little things. And he'll build his way up in your life for you answering the call to be that mega son, that mega daughter that he has called. Maybe many years ago, maybe today. It's obvious. It's obvious. Why would you want to fight what is obvious? Why would you want to argue about something that has no excuses? It's obvious. First day out of prison, first day in church, it was obvious that God wanted to use my life. It was obvious. Even though I was all messed up, he still wanted to use my life. Because he knew what he had placed within my life. He already knew the gifts that he had placed within my life. It was obvious to him, not to me, not to mom and dad, brothers and sisters, but God, it was obvious. When it was still invisible qualities within my life, it was obvious to the one that placed the gifts and the goods within my life. He put them there. Now the preaching of the gospel would start taking place, and what was obvious would start shaking within my life by faith, and I would answer the call. God's wanted to do something great that's bigger than you and I, bigger than this church building, bigger than the school. He's wanted to do something mega big where there's no excuses, where it's obvious. Will you be part of it? You can come all messed up and I will work with you. I'm still a little messed up once in a while. Amen, but not all the time. Because I know how to get with God. I know God by getting with God. Every day, it's simple. But man, it's something spiritual that calls you to come against the flesh. As we stand here this day, let's give the Lord a good clap offering. It's obvious that we should give him praise. Some of you are saying, if I clap, I'm going to have to do it. That's right, clap. Step out by faith. Oh, if I worship him, I'm going to have to stop doing this. That's right. That's what we're trying to accomplish by the obvious God. Because there's no excuses. That's what we're trying to do. Bring a change. Bring a shift within your life. Because it's obvious what you've been doing might be good. But you know, something is lacking. Something don't still fit. And it's leaving God out. That's the part of leaving God out. I'm going to open up the altars here this day. Whatever the song is, amen. Whoa, in the name of Jesus. It's obvious. You don't have to change all today. It's a process. But it can start today. I believe there are some in their living rooms right now. You need to stand up and you need to start worshiping the Lord right there where you're at. You got to worship him. Answering the call is a good thing. For your life, answering the call is a good thing. For those that are lost and bound, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's not something to run from. It's something to run to. It's a good thing. Come on, worship team.